awake to righteousness. Now that's, we need to be prodded with an electric prod to wake us up. Because most of us are asleep. You know, when I read this, I think, awake to righteousness. I think about, a lot of people would never use one of these things at all. I mean, I've seen men, farmers, that wouldn't use one of these things at all. But, you know, sometimes you take one of them big old bulls, one of them big old cows. You just can't make them do what you want them to do. But, you know, you take that little rod that's got them two little probes in it, and you push it in, and when you touch them with it, and it's got a couple of batteries in it, and it's got that little high-powered shock, man, you can cause a bull to kick the fence down. I mean, that you can get that boy's attention. I remember one time, Amanda, I had a great big old play-day horse for her. Now, some of you ain't going to like what I'm going to say, but that's okay. Amanda, she had let her play-day horse, after she got 16, she loved riding her play-day horse. She rode him every day. I bought her a nice saddle. She rode that horse. I mean, she'd go down every day after school. She'd ride him all over this place. But when she got to be 16, she got interested in other kind of horses. You know, 200 horses under the hood. She wanted a bunch of horses. Now, she didn't want one. She wanted the kind you could crank like this and drive it around. So after I got her that little Beretta car, she just quit riding her horse. So about a year come and went, she didn't ride the horse. One day she come in and told Daddy, Daddy, I want to ride my horse. I said, honey, that big old spirited play-day horse, he ain't been rode in a year. He may be a little bit hard to get along with, you know. I said, let me go down there and get him in the lot. So I went down there and called him up and got him in the lot. And I put some hay out there, and he was eating that hay and everything, oats, whatever I put in there. And I went and got the bridle, and I started toward him, and I started to walk around him. And when I did, man, he saw me coming with that bridle. He lowered them ears down like that. He turned that back end around to me. Started bouncing on them heels, you know, and I thought, yeah, I ain't going to get too close to that. Because I know that big bruiser, he could come off the ground with both of them. He kicked my head completely off. I know animals. So I let him go to eating again. And I started to walk around him this way. And when I did, man, he lowered them ears and turned that rear end around again. I said, okay, boy. I have dominion over there. So I walked back in there in my little house where I keep the grain. And I had a strap in there about 8 feet long and a big old steel round buckle in the end of it about that big. I went over and got that big old belt. And I walked back at her and I started toward it. He turned that rear end around to me. When he did, I come over like this and I hit him right between the back end humps with that steel belt. That thing was 8 feet long. He came over, bam! It knocked his feet completely out from under him. He fell completely down on the ground. When he got back up, he turned around and he come over there and put his head in that halter. I said, now have I got your attention? I can hear him saying, yes, you have my attention. And I jumped up on his back. I put that saddle on him. I jumped up on him, and he was, boy, he rode everywhere I wanted to go. I run him around out there a little while, and I said, now you be a good boy. I'm fixing to put my daughter on you. And I said, if you're not good to her, buddy, I said, what you got a while ago is just a touch of what you're going to get. So Amanda rode him all over the place that day, and he was a good boy. You know, you have dominion but over even your children, but sometimes you have to get a switch to their backside. You know that? You know, I mean, all children, and sometimes you and me as big boys and girls are not too good either. You know, so sometimes God has to get a switch to hold us, doesn't he? I don't like it when the king gets a switch to hold of me. Do you, Deborah? I don't like it. Because you think I hurt that horse. I'm telling you, Jesus can hurt you. Somebody said, he's kind and loving. Yes, he is, but you better not do nothing stupid because he can hurt you. I mean, when you read that little part that Cheryl read that night when she was in the bathroom at 3 o'clock in the morning sitting there reading the Bible because she couldn't sleep, and I walked in there, she said, honey, you know it's written right here in the Bible in Job 33 that God disciplines his people with sickness and pain in their bones? I said, yeah. She said, I ain't never seen that. God disciplines his people with sickness and pain in their bones. I said, so you don't want to be a disobedient daughter, do you, girl? She says, no, I'm going to be a good girl. See, I'd already read that, so I've learned I want to be a good boy. Because if God disciplines his children with pain in their bones. I don't want to go there. Do you? No, I don't want to go there. So it's amazing what happens. But awake to righteousness and sin not. Don't sin. For some have not the knowledge of God. And I speak this to your shame. But some men will say, how are we dead raised? And with what body do they come? Now then, what he's saying here, sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. What he's trying to say, church, you don't know your God. You don't know who He is. You've not spent enough time with Him. And I speak this to your shame. You know, that is a shame that the majority of people today in church know almost nothing about their God. I'm going to tell you, the average young person today, I bet you I could go into any church, not high school, any church. And I bet you I could ask 10 simple questions about the Word of God. And I would be willing to bet that most of the young children that are under 16 years of age that had been in church all their life could not answer these 10 basic questions. Like, who's known? Who's Jonah? You know? I mean, who's David? Ask simple questions. Things that anybody should know if you read the Bible.
Amen.
Who was Paul? You know? Isn't that a shame? You know, when I was asked to, when you laugh, I've been in church all my life. Studied, read, all kinds of things. And when I was asked to teach a Sunday school class at Lakeland Baptist Church after I got out of engineering school, I came back here to this area and I was on fire for Jesus, I thought. And I was asked to teach a couple's class. And I really didn't understand who the Apostle Paul was. Isn't that terrible? That's terrible. Here I was 30 years old. 30 years old. And if you'd asked me to explain who Apostle Paul was, he's just one of the apostles. You know, did he write any of the Bible? Well, I don't know. I don't know if he wrote any. Did he write some of it? Did Paul write some of the Bible? Oh, he did? Oh, one or two books? Something. Oh. Isn't that amazing how little we know? But Paul said, I speak this to your shame. Well, he could have been talking to me. Very easy there. But some men will say, how are the dead raised? And with what body do they come forth? Okay, well, let's see what Paul says about this in verse 36. Thou fool? Oh, wow. Oh. You come in and ask me a question, first thing I say to you is, you fool, you ought to know that. You probably won't come back and ask me no more questions. But that's what Paul did, isn't it? He said, you fool. Wow. Lord, I don't want exactly to take on his attributes. I don't think the church would like this if I start calling them a fool. But you fool, and by the way, that is the King James too, isn't it? You fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but you sow bare grain, it may chance of wheat or some other grain. Okay, verse 38 and 39. But God gives it a body as it has pleased Him, and to every seed His own body. Now, I can understand a little bit about where Paul is coming from here. You got to remember, it's kind of like this. Paul was so zealous for God, he was out killing Christians. He was killing Christians. He thought they were teaching a lie. So the Lord Jesus come down, blinded him. And the Lord Jesus later took Paul back to heaven and showed him all these wonderful things. Now, Paul's had the privilege to walk in heaven with God, be personally trained by the king, walked arm in arm with the king. The king said, Paul, let me tell you, son, this is how it works. And he's talking to him and loving him and telling him all this stuff. And so it's kind of like Jack here as a doctor veterinarian. I say, Jack, what do you use to do this? What do you use to treat a dog for a mange? And Jack said, you fool, everybody should know that. No, if I'd have known it, I wouldn't have asked him. Amen. But he knows why. Because he's a vet. He's trained. He knows these things, right? He spent years studying. But you would think that a guy like Paul would have realized that God gave him all this information. Now he needs to be a little gentler with us. You know, instead of walking up to you and say, "You fool, don't you know the answer to that question?" It is kind of something, isn't it, Tom? But he says, "This is to your shame that you don't know these things. You need to get in there and know God." And some of us need to take an example of him. We need to get in there. And, of course, some of these were probably older men like me. You know, now, if this had probably been a little teenage boy, he wouldn't have been near as hard on a little teenage boy. But when he sees us older guys, oh, he said, you guys, what is this? All flesh is not the same, but there's one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, and another of fishes, and another of birds. Verse 40. There are also celestial bodies out there in the cosmos. And there's terrestrial or earthly bodies. But the glory of the celestial is one and the glory of the terrestrial is another. Yeah, it's all God made it all. Amen. Every time I think about these kind of things, I think about that, this Spanish guy or whatever he was the other day that was talking. What was his name, honey? That Spanish guy that was telling us about the cosmos? Lucio, something. Anyway, I can't remember his name. had a funny name. But he was talking, he was a great man of God, studied the cosmos, which intrigues me to no end. And he's talking about, you know, how the earth is big as a golf ball, you know, and the sun is big as the diameter of the inside of this building, 15 feet. And, you know, when you take a 15-foot diameter and one this size out here, this is the earth and that's the sun, you think, whoa, you know, and you think about the distance between the two of them, and you think about how the earth's spinning 1,000 miles an hour. And yet, you know, have you ever stopped to think about this? The earth is spinning, but you don't feel it. And you think about the forward velocity of us going around the sun is nearly 70,000 miles an hour. And you don't feel it.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website. Or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.